I'm watching more and more horrific videos come out of the mountains of North Carolina, up around Asheville, Black Mountain, etc. And people's forget houses. People's entire neighborhoods are just gone. They just don't exist. There are parts of roads up into North Carolina that the interstate just doesn't exist anymore, right? Like, the roads are just gone. And I understand and respect that it could be dramatically worse. And you to some degree, feel bad about complaining. But as I told her, other people having problems doesn't mean that your issues aren't valid. Doesn't mean that your issues aren't issues, that your grievances aren't grievances. They are. And, you know, I know there's a lot of good people that are around here from other parts of the country and from right here in the upstate that are out there on trucks and bucket lifts today already getting work done, trying to get power restored. I got yesterday in the text group, in the group chat amongst the boys, like three of their houses got power yesterday. So I know there's a lot of people out there doing good work to get everybody back to normal, or as close to normal as we're going to be able to get before figuring out whatever the new normal. By the way, can I get out of an era where, like, every 6 weeks we have a new normal? Can we have like 1 year where normal just stays normal for a minute? Anyway. I know there's a lot of you guys out there doing good work, and we appreciate it immensely. There were some crews in and around my neighborhood yesterday that I got the chance to speak to, and they told me they had started the work, but they said, look, man, the number of trees that are down and the places that they are down in your neighborhood, we're looking at 2 days just to get to the power lines and then probably another one before we can get you up and running. So my neighborhood looking like Saturday night is likely, which means that there's a very good chance that I'll be doing Bet for the Cycle and watching college football here on Saturday, because that's just the only option that I have. It's frustrating. But, and this is where I turn around, as Lonzo pointed out, and do our best to be the pillar of positivity that we are here in our community. Stay patient. Stay calm. I promise you, we all understand the frustration. We all understand what you're going through right now. I promise Zoe and I do, as well as anybody else. But
yeah, I'm not angry. I'm just, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's
let's do this. And they're making progress all over the place. It's not like they're not. You see lights on, you see power, but when it's not yours, it's just that sinking feeling in your heart. That's like, please.
And yeah.
I know the deadline for like Duke Power is 11:45 tonight.
If it's not, because listen, those folks are busting their asses for us right now. They just are. They are busting it right now. Yelling, complaining, screaming at them. As I saw one person on the way home yesterday, pulled over on the side of the road, very clearly caroning to a lineman crew, leave them the hell alone. I promise you, you getting in their face and shouting at them about how your power's not on yet, you're not speeding up the process. They're not going to go, oh, George is real mad he doesn't have power. Let's pick up the pace, boys. I promise you. They're doing the best they can. Don't go carrot on these people. They're busting it.
Yeah, I was explaining to a family member yesterday. It's like they can't just turn it on for one person because it's the entire grid area. So if there are wires down and they turn it on, those wires become active. So they have to get in a grid, I mean, in an area, everything fixed before they can turn it on.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you just got to think it through.
Take your time. Listen, I know it's frustrating. Patience is a virtue, all right? Let these people work. They are going hard in the paint for us right now. Let these people work. Let them cook, and they'll get us there. Wesley says, cold beer and projector screen ready for you guys down here in Puerto Rico. I have warm diet Dr. Pepper, too, Lonzo. Warm soda people are just as bad as cold shower people.
Again, it's not warm. I just don't. I mean, when I had ice, there's ice in my cooler. So when I pull the Dr. Pepper out of the cooler, it's cold. okay? And cold doesn't go away.
Of all the false narratives that are built about the two of us on the show, Lonzo drinks warm soda has got to be my favorite. Because it's so like, it shouldn't matter, but it's something that I judge so deeply. I should not.
Hey,
but I do. Warm soda people are weird.
Yeah, I have Dr. Pepper at home. It's been sitting in a house that's been warm for a week. I ain't touching that.
Nah, it's just absolutely weird. So the you know, there's the narrative of Rob hates kids and old people. Not true. I literally
maybe some of them.
No,
there's a couple.
2 days ago, pardon me. 2 days ago, brought ice to and then went rummaging around the hot ass attic of my 98-year-old World War II veteran neighbor to help him find a cooler for the ice I brought him. And the day before that, went and sat with one of my friend's kids for 20 minutes so they could take a hot shower because they hadn't gotten a chance to in 4 days, 5 days. I like it. That's fine. I'm good with that. It's a false narrative that's been built. My favorite one is Lonzo drinks warm soda. It's the best false narrative ever. All right. We got a lot to get to. Let's see. Zach says, sitting here in the dark going on day 8 without power. But hey, listening to my favorite radio show here in the morning is getting me through it. Zach, we're happy to do it. Even if you are being sarcastic, which I don't think you are. Zach Series, P1, he's in the chat every single day, which you can be too at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Join the stream. We're live all 4 hours, all 5 days a week. Rain or storm or sleet or shine or hail, Lonzo and I find a way to make it work. So join us on our live stream. We'd love to have you. That being said, Zach, we're happy to do it. We're happy to do it. We're happy to have you with us. We're happy to have you be a part of all of this. We are happy to have you jump on board. We do this show, as Zoe and I have pointed out many, many times in the past. We do this show because sometimes, not all the times, but some of the times, life kicks you in the nads. It just does. Sometimes life isn't super duper fun. Sometimes it's a pain in the ass, to be honest with you. Like when you're going on day 8 sans power. Like when you got to take cold showers like you're a damn Navy SEAL trainee for a week and a half. It's very frustrating. Our goal on this show is to be a break from that. Our goal on this show is to get, because as I said on Monday, in an hour and a half, in an hour, whatever time it is, the sun is going to come up across the upstate of South Carolina. The sun is going to come up across the Carolinas. And all of us know there's still, a week later, there's still a lot to do. There's still trees that have to be picked up or cut away. There's still power lines that have to be replaced. There's still driveways that have to be cleared. There's still roofs that have to be repaired. There's still stuff that's got to be done. And that's not going anywhere until it is done. But even knowing those things have got to be done, sometimes you just need a second. Sometimes you just need a break. Sometimes you just need to escape for a minute. Welcome to the Rob Brown Show. That's what we do. We goof off. We have a good time. Please don't think that Lonzo and I aren't aware of all that needs to be done. All the work that has to happen. All the volunteered hours that will be needed. All the crews that are out there sweating in the upstate October sun to get these things done. Those of you that are volunteering your time and your resources to help out your neighbors and your community members around you. We know that that's all real. We know that that's all stuff that is just a part of our reality for the next few days or weeks or months. Who knows? But I also know that if all you can do is dial in on what is bad, it will drive you clinically insane. So we're here to give you a break. We're here to give you a respite. We're going to keep you as updated with what information we get when we get it as we possibly can. But I also know that we're a sports talk radio show. And sports, good, bad, ugly, or absolutely heartbreaking. Am I right, Milwaukee Brewers? Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, or absolutely heartbreaking. Am I right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers? It's still a break from reality. And that's what Zoe and I are here to bring to you. So, with that being said, Here's DNQ kart racing driver Cliff Lovendahl.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Fighting! All right, hang on. Let me fix that. There we go. All right, fixed. That was fun, though.
Are you sure it's fixed? Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Pigs in space!
Thank you. That's my favorite.
You want to do one?
I don't know. I don't know if I have the energy.
All right. It's gone. DNQ kart driving, kart racing driver Cliff Lovendahl had a little incident.
So not go-karts.
But no, it's karts.
Is it
go-karts? It's karts. They're okay. About, I'm not kidding you, they're full-grown men racing these things, but these karts, though, are about yay big, long, and they're about yay wide, and they stuff themselves down in there like a Mario Kart.
So by full grown, you mean dudes that are like 5'4".
I mean, I'm sure there's no 6'3 DNQ kart drivers. Because I looked at it, and I pulled a hammy looking at these karts.
You couldn't get in a NASCAR. You're probably not getting in one of those.
I couldn't at 260. I'll take a second shot. We're going to have a NASCAR night for the Swamp Rabbits again this year. I'm going back to Spire Racing's HQ. Because I need to prove to Carson Hocevar that I can get in this damn car now that I've dropped 50 pounds. Okay. I think I can do it now.
Okay, what month would this be? Would this be next year sometime?
No, it'll be probably, I mean, yeah, next year, but
so,
probably
so you'll
like,
be 40, so there'll be other things that might stop you from
getting
in.
Listen, it wasn't the flexibility. Daddy can still move
maybe
a little bit.
Maybe get you some conjointin and some, you know, glucose.
Listen, I promise you want me to get this clip. Cliff Lovendahl, DNQ kart racing driver, got spun out in a race. I swear to God, I knock him over, billy club him like a baby seal.
All right, so I, you know, my go-to when I get angry is not a billy club to a baby seal. I mean,
it might be now.
No, it won't be.
Son,
ever.
I will billy club you like a baby seal.
I don't hate you that much. I mean, I would never billy club a baby seal. I mean, it's disturbing that guy would think of that.
That is my...
Billy club you like a baby seal, boy.
That's my favorite
Get
thing.
Get on up out of that car.
I swear to God, I'll billy club you like a baby seal. That's just the greatest threat I think I've ever heard. In the list, sports provides some great threats every now and then.
He sounded a little bit like Juice Robinson. I'm just saying.
I'll billy club you like a baby seal. Has got to go down as one of the things like one of the greatest things I've ever heard. That's beyond fantastic. I from this point forward,
we here at Odyssey of Greenville and Odyssey Upstate do not condone the billy clubbing of seals.
I mean, I think it's a metaphor. You know, there was the, there's a, I don't want to say controversy, but there's a controversy because of the picture I talked about, the Alabama-Georgia game, where they had the two wolves picture. There were two Alabama players lined up next to each other on defense, and they both had eye black on, right? That went across the nose and over the cheeks. And one of them had a Bible verse on it, standing next to another player whose tape said, kill everybody. Like, I don't think that guy literally meant murder everyone on the football team. I think it's a metaphor.
Yeah, but if he said if it had club you like a baby seal across there, I'm guessing that would not have been permitted on the field.
It's like the difference between Lazard's finger guns versus the full musket firing squad on the sideline.
I mean there are places you just don't go, and baby seals is one of those.
Murdering the other team, fine. Clubbing baby seals, cross the line.
Yeah, I mean, come on,
you can't club baby seals. All right. For the record, he did say knock him over, not murder, you know?
Well, that's what they do before they... Okay.
I think it's my favorite threat of all time.
I just want to point out, it's not mine. I think that's too far.
Zach said the frustrating part is there's houses a half mile away from my house that have power, and it's so frustrating. Zach,
yeah,
I want you to know.
Mine too. Yeah, I get it.
Across a quarter mile away, a half mile away, I need a baseball with a house from my house that has power. I can see them in their house with the lights on to the point that I'm tempted. Hi, you don't know me. I'm coming inside now. Get out of my way or...
No, 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 don't do that.
Sir, I need your air conditioning or...
Stop it.
It's my favorite threat. That's just what I use now. All right.
You're going to the boss's office later.
Nah.
That's all I'm saying.
He'll understand. I'm not actually advocating baby club killing or baby seal clubbing. It's just hilarious. All right, we got to run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute. Baseball once again proved last night, despite the fact that I hate the New York Mets with every fiber of my being. Baseball proved last night why it, in the postseason, can be one of the most electrifying sports in sports. I'll get there. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Happy Friday, ye people. It's the Fan Upstate. That is legendary Brew Crew play-by-play man Bob Uecker and the star of the Major League movie franchise.
How old is he now?
Bob Uecker, 216.
I mean, that sounded like it was his last game or something, the way he was.
I think Bob Uecker is immortal. Like, I'm pretty sure that there's one other play-by-play guy somewhere in America. And the two of them are destined to fight to the death at some point, a.k.a. the Highlander. Like, it's inevitable at this point. Bob Uecker is 90 years old. 90 years old. I won't be alive at 90. This man is not only still calling baseball games, but he still calls them exceptionally well. Like, he's still good at the job. This isn't like a 90-year-old guy who they bring in as a guest spot because he's an honorary guy. And they're like, hey, trot Bob out from the home for three outs and let's see if he can get through it as a nod to the people. No, this guy still does it, and he still does it well.
I heard some clips from his play-by-play from last night on Amy earlier. His cadence lends to his longevity.
Oh, for sure.
Because of what his cadence is. So, I mean, when people get older and they're doing play-by-play, there's a lot of hesitation. But he already had that in his play-by-play. So when he's doing the game, you don't notice how old he is.
He's the best. He's still the best. But you could hear the heartbreak in his voice, man. The Brew Crew last night led in the top of the ninth the New York Mets in the NL Wild Card Series. It was the only game three from the four Wild Card Series. The other three all ended in sweeps. The Padres swept the Bravos. The Royals swept the O's. It was a sweep everywhere except for that one. It goes to game three. It's in Milwaukee, by the way. It's in front of the home crowd, and Pete Alonso in the top of the ninth goes, yeah! Pete Alonso, enormous dong, out to right field, goes big time yard. The Mets end up taking the lead into the bottom of the ninth, blanking the Brew Crew there, and it's all said and done. I love playoff. I love baseball. But playoff baseball, like, it's one of those things that I want to come in here and I want to say, was that not one of the most dramatic things, right? Like, was that not the most electrifying moment of the sports calendar so far? And I know that those of you who agree with me are like, absolutely, hell yeah. And the rest of you don't. If you, it's one of those things. There are just times when, and I know that this comes across as cliche, probably because it is. But there are in certain spots just times where you have to leave a conversation by saying, "Man, if you don't get it, you don't get it. If we don't agree, we don't agree." It is the cliche. If we disagree, we disagree. And we'll just have to agree to disagree on this. But last night when Pete Alonso went yard, last night when that ball left the park, last night when Citi Field, this game was being played in Milwaukee, but there were 60,000 Mets fans who turned up to Citi Field in New York to watch the game on the Jumbotron. They had a video of that, a webcam of that up on social media, and that place lost its damn mind. I hate the Mets, all right? All due respect to our guy Jersey Joe, who's in the chat. Big Mets guy, big Metropolitans guy. Congratulations to you, Jersey Joe. I'm a Braves fan. I hate the Mets and I hate the Phillies, all right? I feel nothing for the Miami Marlins. Well, I feel a little bit of contempt. There's a good reason for that. Can't stand the Mets. Can't stand the Mets, not even a little bit. Okay? I just can't. Even I was like, damn. And it was envy. It was envy. It was envy of what they were feeling in that moment. I know what they were feeling in that moment. Because it wasn't but a handful of years ago that in the sixth inning of the World Series in 2021, Jorge Soler went yard in H-Town on a baseball that I'm pretty sure left Atlanta and needed FAA clearance to land in Greenville, South Carolina. Left Houston and landed here in the upstate. That's how hard he hit that baseball. And in that moment, it was one of the most emotional sports memories that I have. Because in that moment, you just got this vibe that this team, we already knew it, they're in the World Series, but this team is special. This team has done something special. This team is going to do something special. And you don't like to say this when a team is still competing, still active in the postseason. But it was in that moment that you're like, I don't think this team can lose. I don't think this team can lose. If they can come up with that moment. And I don't know. And again, I'm probably wrong about this. I'm probably wrong, and I definitely don't care. In that moment, in that spot, I thought to myself, I don't think there's a better postseason sport than baseball. I just don't. Because you get one of those moments every couple of games, and they never get old, man. Just never. I am less than half a year away from turning 40 years old. Yeah. I had to do the math. I'm less than half a year away from turning 40. And I've been watching baseball my entire life. My entire life. Baseball was the first sport that I watched as a kid. Watched it with my grandpa, watched it with my dad, used to race home from the bus stop because the Braves played on TNT and the Cubs played on WGN, which for some reason we got in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And because my mom was born in Chicago and I assume dropped my little brother on his head as a child, he was a Cubs fan. I was a Braves fan. And if both teams had an afternoon game, whoever got home from school first got to put their baseball team on the big TV downstairs, and whoever got home second had to go upstairs to the little TV. I've been watching baseball for probably 35 years. And even as a 39 and a half plus year old man last night, listening on the radio, by the way, because I don't have power, not because I choose to. But listening on the radio last night, 39 and a half years old, lady friend had gone to bed. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm reading a Revolutionary War book on the couch by candlelight. Because not only am I an old man now, but I'm also an old man who is currently living in colonial times, apparently. Reading a book by candlelight, listening to baseball on the radio, and when Pete Alonso came up, I think Francisco Lindor was on the bags. Who was it? It was Lindor and whoever was batting behind him, both on the bags. Was it Winkler? I think it was Jesse Winkler, both on the bags. And up comes Alonso. And for some reason, and by the way, Pete Alonso has not hit a home run since like September 19th. It's been almost a month since Pete Alonso went yard. But because it's baseball, and that's a story, it's a hell of a story. I'm listening to Bob Uecker, and he's describing the situation at 90 years old. This man was born in 1934. This man vividly remembers World War II. He was like a teenager when that happened. So, listening to Bob Uecker set the stage for the Pete Alonso at bat, I thought to myself, quietly, because she was in bed, and I'm a good husband. I thought to myself, this has got moment written all over it, right? This has got moment written all over it. Because no matter what happens with this at bat, there's drama coming out of it, right? Either Pete Alonso's going to do something special, and he's gonna get a hit that's going to score a run, tie this thing up, or he's going to get struck out, and one of the biggest threats in the Mets lineup is neutralized at a moment that is win or go home, or Pete Alonso is going to do something that Mets fans are going to be talking about forever. Forever. Braves fans will talk about that Jorge Soler dinger forever. This is a swing of the bat, an at-bat, that Mets fans might be talking about forever, which as a Braves fan is infuriating. Because now I got to listen, especially if the Mets do anything this year, a team that was projected and expected to, you know, Mets gonna Met, LOL. Bob Uecker sets the stage. I closed the book. I put the book on the coffee table. I picked up the phone because I was listening on the radio, but I was listening to the radio on my phone because it is 2024. I picked up the phone. I turned the volume up. I laid back on the couch. I set the phone on my shoulder, and I just dialed in. And I listened to the call of the home run, and I just went, damn. Baseball's the best. Baseball's the best. It is one of those times that, and I don't like to be this guy, but in this moment, I don't know what else to say. If that moment didn't strike that feeling of romance about sports in your heart, we're just different people. And that's okay. That's okay. We're all allowed to think and believe and act different ways. But If that dinger didn't do something to you, if it didn't tug at the heartstrings, even as a guy who hates the Mets, by just how good baseball can be, the ultimate mix of team sport and sport of individual accomplishments. If that didn't get you, even if you wanted the Mets to lose, hands up, that's me. We just operate on different planes of existence because that was just baseball at its best. Postseason baseball is the best, which we'll talk about because the divisional round brackets are officially set. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Our MLB divisional round is officially set with the conclusion of the Mets-Brewers series last night. Pete Alonso goes, yad! In the top of the ninth, the Brew Crew unable to procure the two runs necessary to tie the game in the bottom of the 10th. 4-2, Edwin Diaz gets the win, and the Mets move on to the MLB divisional round, which starts on Saturday. 108 first pitch, Detroit's at Cleveland, the Mets and the Phillies in an NL East divisional round showdown. The Royals, Kansas City, sending Michael Waka 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 to the bump against Yankees ace Gerrit Cole. Sendiago is at the Padres in 8:38 pitch, 6:38 for the Royals and the Yankees live in New York.
Who does San Diego play?
That would be the L.A. Dodgers.
Okay, because you said they were at the Padres.
The Padres at the Dodgers in NL West matchup in the division around. Dylan Cease versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto is your pitching matchup in that one. Dude, I love this. And I'll tell you why. You know what? I'm not going to tell you why I love this. Instead, I am going to let Tim Kirkjian tell you why I love this. That's it. There's nothing more to that at all. Tim Kirkjian nailed it right there. There are remaining 8 teams: Detroit, Cleveland, New York, Philly, Kansas City, the other New York, San Diego, and LA. Any of the 12 teams in the wild card round through could have been. Well, that's not true. I don't think Atlanta was ever getting there. Sorry, Braves fans. You know I'm a Braves guy too. We just didn't have it this year, all right? There was no gree-gree with this team. So of the 12 teams, I think 11 of them were bona fide World Series contenders. The Detroit Tigers have got to be the grittiest baseball team I've ever seen play. I mean, there's no quit in that team. The Cleveland Guardians have not gotten nearly the amount of respect that they deserve, that they should have gotten. The New York Mets, this is a team that we go back to the All-Star break, and the Mets were kind of hanging around with the Phillies and the Braves. Atlanta and Philly flip-flopping that wild card round, that wild card ticket, all the way through the end of the season. And Deck was like, oh, no chance the Mets get there. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, this Mets team has got a grind to them. That last year, I don't think they had. Last year, remember, the Mets set the record for the highest payroll they've ever put together. And there was no heart to that team, right? Like, that team was to me, the illustration of you can't buy a championship. You can't. You cannot just have the highest payroll and think that that is automatically going to guarantee you a damn thing. Last year's Mets were that. This year's Mets, not so much. This year's Mets grounded out. Nope, that's not the right, because we're talking about baseball. They grinded. Is grinded the past tense of grind?
It's ground?
Ground. The correct past tense of the verb grind is ground, but grinded is also acceptable in informal context. Well, this show is definitely informal.
So you're good. You're good.
Grinded is more common in American English and acceptable in informal context. For example, I grinded for experience. Okay. However, it should be avoided in academic writing. So there you go. If you're writing academically.
Or if Chris is in the room.
Yeah,
you don't want to do that.
I'm going to go with grinded. I think baseball is informal enough. This Mets team grinded it out. There's the Philadelphia Phillies, a baseball team that took the division, jumped out to an early lead. They did exactly what you're supposed to do. Philly had the easiest first half schedule in all of baseball, and they took advantage of that fact. You know, this is a conversation that we have across a lot of sports every year. Well, you know, Team X has the easiest schedule in all of sport Y. It's like, great, but, you know, you still got to play those games. And especially in baseball, where, you know, the best teams are still going to lose 60 to 80 games. The worst teams are going to win 60 games. So even in baseball, where I would argue, let's see, the worst teams in baseball this year, the White Sox, borderline history, they won 41 games. Worst team in baseball. Over in the National League, even the Marlins, the second worst team in baseball, won 62 games. The Colorado Rockies are a team that are frequently and openly mocked by how pathetic their leadership is, how pathetic their franchise is? 61 wins. The difference between the best teams and the worst teams in baseball is you know, 30 games, 35 games on average, maybe 40. It's a big difference over the span of a full baseball season. But it's not as dramatic as some other sports, right? The difference from the best in the NFL to the worst in the NFL is dramatic. You're talking teams that are going to have 13 wins versus teams that are going to have three. That's a dramatic difference when you talk about a 17-game schedule. When you're talking about a 162-game schedule, 60 games is still dramatic, but it's percentage-wise not as dramatic, right? And so Philly having the easiest schedule in baseball, keeping in mind, taking into context the fact that the teams at the bottom of the standings are still going to, on average, win 60 to 63 games a year. The White Sox are the outlier. I don't count them because they're not a real team. You still have to go take advantage of that. The Phillies did. And then they got to the second half where they had one of the most difficult schedules in all of baseball. And they just kept winning. They grinded out the second half of the season. This team's dangerous. The Kansas City Royals might have the best 1-2-3-4 deep rotation in all of baseball. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the best four or five baseball players in baseball this year, and he's put that team on his back. This Royals team is dangerous. This Yankees team, with their murderer's row of hitters in the middle of the lineup, combined with a Gerrit Cole-led staff, are exceptionally dangerous. This Padres team, San Diego won almost 70% of their games in the second half of the season. That's unbelievable. That's incredible. That's a team that, had they played the first half like they played the second half, might have been the only 100-win team in baseball. There are no 100-win teams. And to me, there's two reasons for that. Reason number one, as I've talked about all season long, is because I don't think teams were fine. We'll see if it comes to fruition or not. Over in the National League, which is where I'm most interested, the Dodgers and the Phillies both got a first-round bye. They both had a week off because they don't play till Saturday. So they had a week off. Do they come out sloppy? Do they come out slow? Do they come out with bad timing and rhythm? If they don't, they win this, I think we will go back to having 100-win teams next year. If Philly and the Dodgers on the National League side both end up getting bailed out, then I think you'll see no 100-win teams next year either. Because I don't think that teams were fighting like they traditionally did. I don't think teams were fighting for the first-round bye this year, because it's been a liability. The Yankees and the Guardians, 94 and 92 wins respectively. I don't think that they were fighting for the first. I think teams will take it if they can get it, but I don't think they were fighting for it. If the Yankees and the Guardians both get bounced in the divisional round after being off for a week, I don't think we'll see 100. If we have three of the four teams that lose that got a first-round bye, I don't think you'll see 100-win teams very frequently from this point moving forward. But I think there's another reason across Major League Baseball that we didn't get a 100-win team this year. And I think that reason is the fact that parity is really good. Parity is really good. Parity in Major League Baseball is the best in any professional American sport right now. Because like I said, it's a 12-team playoff bracket. I think 11 teams had a chance to go to the World Series. And I will tell you that, and the only difference between me and Tim Kirchian, who said he thought that all 12 teams in the postseason had a chance at winning the World Series this year. The only difference is, while I am a pillar of positivity within my own community, I am an absolute What's a similar word to pillar that starts with N?
You got me. You gave me a letter there.
I need something to go with negativity here. Oh, wait. Is this a... Ooh, did I just learn it? Ooh, I'm a newel of negativity. Newel, the central supporting pillar or spiral of a winding staircase.
Wow.
So if you have a...
No,
I
know what it is.
Spiral once staircase, you, that column in the middle is it. Called yeah. a newel.
How do you spell that?
N-E-W-E-L.
Okay, that's how I thought you would spell yeah. it. All right. Rhymes with jewel.
But newel.
Yeah.
So while I am a pillar of positivity within my community, I am a newel of negativity when it comes to my sports teams. I know. It's very shocking. But when I look at the New Orleans Saints, the Atlanta Braves, I realize, and that's just a reality of my life, right? So maybe I'm alone. Maybe outside of me. And Ryan Horvath. I had to talk Horvy out of taking out a World Series ticket on the Atlanta Braves. Going into the playoffs. He asked me on BetMGM on Tuesday. He's like, should I put in a ticket? They were like 12-1. I was like, no. Just Venmo me that money. I'll use that more wisely than that. But parity in Major League Baseball, I think, might be the best parity. I would look at the NFL standings right now. The difference between the teams at the top of the league, the 4-0 Chiefs, the 3-1 Steelers, the 3-1 Steelers, the 3-1 Bills, the 3-1 Commanders, Seahawks, 4-0 Vikings, 3-2 Falcons, 3-1 Texans. The difference between them and, say, the 1-3 Dolphins, Browns, Bengals, Titans, the 0-4 Jaguars, the 1-3 Giants, Rams, and Panthers, the difference between those teams is immense, right? When we get to the playoffs, there will be two or three NFL teams in the playoffs that you go, yeah, this team doesn't have a shot. This is a warm-up team for whoever caught them in the first or second round.
Just like for a while in the 4-team playoff in college football, that fourth team, there is no
irrelevant.
Chance.
Irrelevant, yeah. Like, in baseball?
Like when Cincinnati got in there or a team like that, yeah.
In baseball, we had a 12-team bracket that I believed 11 teams could win the World Series. Tim Kirkchin said all 12 could have won the World Series. Baseball's postseason is the best. It's the best. And last night was just an appetizer of what's to come. All right? You know what else is the best? The best 60 seconds of this show is when Lonzo reads the sports flash.
Not true. The Atlanta Falcons now hold possession of first place in the NFC South after knocking off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night in overtime, 36-30. Kirk Cousins threw for 509 yards and four touchdowns with one interception, including 154 yards and a touchdown to Drake London, and 105 yards and two touchdowns to Darnell Mooney. Tampa Bay quarterback Baker Mayfield went 19-24 with for 180 yards and three touchdowns in the loss. Still pretty good. The National Hockey League regular season opens with a full slate of games starting this afternoon at 1 when New Jersey and Buffalo take the ice, followed by four games at 7 p.m. that include the Carolina Hurricanes hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning. And make sure you tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Paladins football, the Fan, Upstate.